Did I tell you? I think we're like actually officially fixed as far as the podcast feed goes.
Oh, nice.
Yes. It's very exciting.
I know that was weighing on your mind very heavily.
It was. Like hours before, or maybe the day before the last episode dropped, we appeared everywhere and it looked like all the downloads started coming through. So hopefully by now, everybody should be getting episodes that is subscribed. So
good, good.
Yay.
Glad to hear it. Welcome back, everyone.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better.
Although you were feeling pretty good last time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Good enough to come over to your house and visit, so I didn't get all your kids sick.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. All right, so we're actually recording this relatively quickly after the last episode dropped.
Right.
Our big listicle episode. Although, you didn't want it to be called
term.
Which who does?
Yeah, Nick texted me, and he said he hated that term, too. I said, notice I didn't say it, and he's like, yeah, Charlie said it like six times in the first minute.
Because it's a terrible term, because it's a terrible thing. Right? Listicle is a great word to describe low-effort articles that are just lists.
It just sounds like some other words that end in esticle.
Well, so that's the thing, right? I didn't give the title. Well, originally the title I had set up was Listicles All the Way Down, and you texted me and said, don't make it listicle. That sounds like a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, I guess I didn't think about that. Changed it. And the episode drops in the morning, and I go to work, and my wife texted me, and she's like, why didn't you call it listicles? I thought that was funny. And I was like, yeah, well, Dan has a dirty mind, so thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's not even, it's one of those things where, and I know you don't mean this, because I think we all have phrases or words like this that we use that irk people, but we don't really think about it ourselves. But it's one of those phrases that it just, like, it gets under my skin. It's like, I don't know. It's the term
listicle.
Yeah, it sounds like someone's like trying to say something. It's like when someone says something that's not a common word used, that's like dictionary definition, and they're using it properly, but it just irritates you because you're like, no one says that word.
People say listicles all the time.
I'm sure they do, but it's not one I commonly hear in my circles. So it's one of those that like gets under my skin.
Admittedly, I don't know that I've heard a human pronounce it ever.
Yeah.
It's always just it's just written as a thing to make fun of, like BuzzFeed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
So I might not even be pronouncing it right. I don't even know if there is a pronunciation.
It's list cycle. But no, it's just one of those words that like I don't hear it much. So I just like it and again, I'm sure I probably say words or phrases that probably get under people in different regions of the country's nerves. Like they get on, like the fact that I keep saying getting under their nerves, and that's not even a phrase. It's
getting
I've
under never
their
heard.
Skin.
Yeah.
Getting on your nerves.
No, I think it's getting on your skin.
Yeah, exactly. Getting on your skin. So. So, yeah. Anyway, so now that
so
we got
all that,
that
to say, the great listicle episode. We haven't, that's just to say that it hasn't been out very long, so we haven't really gotten any feedback from listeners on that.
Okay.
But I know I was reserved about doing it, and I'm still reserved about whether other people will like listening to it, but I did enjoy doing it myself.
Yeah.
And more than that, I appreciated at least one thing I got from you, which is Cage the Elephant band that you pointed out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot we discussed that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been listening to that pretty much nonstop for the last week. It's
not
like
the album I mentioned, but you still found them nonetheless.
Yes, yeah. It wasn't the Unpeeled live album. It was the, well, now I'm forgetting what the name of the album is.
I think it's called like Tell Me I'm Pretty. It's their more recent one.
Tell Me I'm Pretty. Yes, yeah. That's the one. That album title just makes me think of you, Dan.
Yeah.
No, but that's been great. And then I think you at least have attempted to watch one of my suggestions on the TV episode one, but I don't know what your thoughts are.
Oh, Good Place?
Yes, The Good Place.
Okay, I love it. Like, it's probably now going to be, if it, like, continues its pace into, like, you know, a few years, like, I feel it's a bit early to say it's one of my favorite shows, but if it, like, keeps up this sort of pace into a few years worth of TV, Like, I think it could one day attain that place in that pantheon as far as like sitcoms go.
Yeah.
I will say this, because of its situation, it's a little stressful in this yes. like weird sort of
and
way.
Don't explain anything about the
no,
story,
I won't.
But yeah.
I won't. So even though I like it and the writing is amazing and it is probably one of my favorite like new sitcoms, I found myself a couple times like whenever I'm just exhausted and I'm ready to like fall asleep on the couch, like saying, okay, I'm going to watch a couple episodes of The Good Place, and then thinking like, I don't know if I'm ready for the stress of this right now. I need to just put on Mystery Science Theater or something.
That's funny.
Yeah. And so, well, it's also because if I'm going to fall asleep, it's one of those shows where I actually don't want to fall asleep
attention.
On.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So
would you agree with what I was saying, which is go into it totally blind?
Yeah.
That amplify that experience a little bit.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. So I still got about half of the first season to watch. So I'm only about 5, 6, 7 episodes in, something like that. It's only 13 episodes for the first season, if that math didn't make sense to anyone. But anyways, so yeah, I enjoy it as well. So
great. So stuff even if our listeners didn't enjoy listening to our listicle with listicles, listicle,
yeah,
we at least enjoyed recording it and got something out of it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. All right, so you have on our notes here, netiquette.
Yes. Okay. This is a good example of one of those words that I hate, and I used it just because that's what's typically used in a lot of my classes.
Uh-huh.
Basically, I wanted to talk about a specific area of like online ethics / etiquette.
Okay. So this is like reticette.
Sure. Sure. And this question I want to start out by saying like, overall, in the scope of things, this isn't something I lose much sleep over. It's not something that's a big deal. But I just think it's interesting because today I was sort of consumed by it because it happened to a group that I was in on Facebook. And I'm not asking if any of this is legal. I'm not asking, like, is someone breaking the law by doing XYZ, because they're not.
This isn't like throwing a hamburger across a parking lot because they accidentally put pickles on it.
No. So this is not life altering, and it's not anything that's a legal question. So that's not what I'm asking. I just want to be clear up front. So just to give a little bit of context real quick, I'm in several online communities, mainly through Facebook closed groups. Now, the closed group on Facebook, as many people who might be involved in one, as you know, they typically say in it that anyone that's not in this group cannot see what you post. And so just in the structure of the Facebook groups that are closed to begin with, there's already a sort of promise of anonymity. But on top of that...
Well, hold on. Is it anonymity? Because it's Facebook, right? So your name is attached. Is that correct?
Yes. But what I'm saying is that... But see, this is where it gets interesting. But if you also want to deal with that piece, that's fine as well. Just that on its own.
I just want to clear up. You are not anonymous. It is private.
No. What I mean by anonymity is like, for instance, a closed group is closed so that the rest of the people that aren't a part of that group don't see what you post in there, and vice versa.
Right. So it's private, not anonymous.
Yes. Yeah, that's a better word. So that's kind of what they're for. And then, of course, within, you know, those closed groups, people can come up, just like Reddit, you know, they can come up with their own rules and policies that they follow on top of that as well. Now, what had happened in this situation is there's an online community that I'm a part of. This online community has spawned several other subgroups. And one of these subgroups is a group that I won't say the name of it, but it is, I'll say this, it's in the title that it's that it implicates that it's centered around moderation. That was why it was created, because the main big group that actually has to do directly with this commercial community, they don't moderate anything. And that's kind of like the point.
Yeah.
Like, and so someone said, hey, well, then if you want moderation, join this subgroup that moderates. And so the thing is, it's another closed group, and in their title, they've added on this additional layer of moderation. So what happened was someone from one of these subgroups, not the main group, shared screenshots of a pretty incendiary conversation within one of the subgroups, not even the main group. And these are all closed groups. and sent it to someone who then published them online in an article criticizing the entire group and the main group as if this is what their community is.
Okay, so let me try to synthesize what I'm hearing here, because there's a lot.
Yes,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there was a lot, and it's kind of hard without using specifics. Yeah, but yes.
So and I'm not familiar with the specifics here, so I'll hopefully I can explain this in a way that makes sense. So you have a group that's attached to like a brand, like a show or something,
right?
And that group is totally unmoderated, and that's part of its thing, but it is private. Yeah. How do you get into this? Is this like a Patreon kind of deal?
You have to be, it has to be confirmed. It's like a thing where if you're a contributor to said thing, you are given an invitation to the group and you get added in.
Okay, so you have a private group of fans of a thing and it's unmoderated.
Right.
There, for some reason or another, a separate group was created that is a moderated community, but it's the same... like group of people generally.
Yeah, it's generally the same group of people.
Or fans of the same
thing. It's not inherently endorsed by...
Okay, so it's like unofficial.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like if there's Disney Facebook group and someone like creates Disney lovers, like moderated.
Gotcha. But it's not an unofficial channel.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's a spinoff, and a lot of the same people consider it, you know, part of the same community, but... it's not officially.
So then somebody in the moderated unofficial channel, which is also private, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. It's a closed private group.
So somebody in that channel was in some sort of argument or something.
Right.
Somebody screenshotted it and posted it to the unmoderated channel.
No. Someone screenshotted it and sent it to someone who was a quote unquote blogger.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Who decided to
write? So is the unmoderated thing even relevant to this story?
Not really. That's part of the problem
okay.
as well.
Let's simplify this. You have a fan page,
yes,
that is private.
Sure.
And somebody screenshotted a conversation and sent it to a blogger.
Yes.
This is the whole story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a lot simpler.
Okay. Fair enough. But and basically, like, now here's the thing. My feeling is that I feel like even though there was a couple of the comments that I certainly disagree with, I feel like you're crossing a line whenever you break that sort of trust, just from an ethical question, not can you do this or anything. My question is more as far as like online social etiquette in like a closed group. So like, for instance, like let's say this was a group of people that, I don't know, maybe there's something they don't want to be outed on. They're like this is a place, a community that's closed for the purpose of having discussions that they don't feel like they can have anywhere else. So I don't feel like it's okay to take it upon yourself, even if you think you're justified because whatever people's screenshots you took, you think that they were bad people. I don't think it's ever okay to just take that and then send it to someone so that they can try and blow it up publicly and use all the names. Like, none of the names were blurred out.
I get what you're saying.
Like, because I kind of understand if it's something where it's dangerous or, like, if you don't share this information, someone else will be harmed. But I don't think it's okay if – because this is kind of the equivalent of what it was, but it was just a little bit more vulgar. It was stuff where, like, people were mad at let's say – a public figure, and they were just like, man, she's stupid, like that sort of stuff. And because of that, like they just took all that and then posted online, didn't blur out names, nothing, and this was in a closed group. Like, I could understand if this was like, you know, the Charlottesville rally where neo-Nazis are publicly going out and they're like showing their faces to the public, and then people send those pictures to their jobs and they get, you know, fired or whatever consequences happen.
Right.
Like, to me, that's a very different scenario than saying, I'm in a closed group, I don't like what you said, so I'm going to take it upon myself to send this to a public venue and just out everyone.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing about this that's weird and hard for me to parse is that, like, the specifics matter. I don't think it is a across-the-board kind of thing. But generally speaking, right, I think I would say a private conversation in a private group, there's a, like, trust there that should be kept relatively private. relatively though, right? Like, so
right.
If you're harassing somebody, even if it's not exactly. like illegal or anything like that, you're just being mean to somebody. And yes. You see, like, for example, if you see somebody in this private group that's being really mean or harassing people or whatever,
yes.
and then you see that that person's dating like a friend, it makes sense to show that friend, like, hey, this is what this guy's like, right?
Yeah, that's a little different.
But
though,
you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So it's hard for me to put a rule that says you should never share this stuff, because I think there's a point where you do. Now, taking that to a public blogger or, you know, journalist or something, that to me would require a much higher degree of reason for you need to share that.
Right. Like, well, let me give you an example, and this is nowhere near like what actually was being talked about. But like, let's say in the group, as an example, the kind of the equivalent of what happened is like, hey, did you see Oprah's Oscar speech the other night? She's such a moron. Like, I hate her. Like, she's effing this, and I can't stand her. She's such a, like, hippie, and, like, all this. Like, that's the sort of stuff that was taking place. And it would be, like, taking that from the closed group, sending just the bad remarks. Because, like, this was on a thread, by the way, where there's literally hundreds of people, and most of the comments were actually fine.
Sure.
But this was taking screenshots of the bad one, sending them to a blogger and saying, like, this is what they do and they don't moderate and they just don't care. And then that blogger painting it as they're racist because they're hating on Oprah because she's black. Like, that's kind of the equivalent of what took place. And now I agree with you. Like, if it's something where it's like within the group, someone is harassing another person within the group, or if you don't share this information, someone will be harmed. Like, for instance, someone says, I'm in a closed group. I'm going to commit suicide. Don't tell anyone. Like, obviously, that's a little different.
Right,
like,
right,
those
right.
are different situations, because you're talking about someone's harm or you're talking about actual abuse.
This feels similar to, like, if somebody was talking about their, like, political views and not, you know, extreme things, but, like, I like or don't like the president or whatever.
Yeah.
It feels like outing people for that is sort of like crossing a line.
Okay, that's actually a good example. So yeah, let's say there's a closed group where the whole point of it is this is an outlet for anything goes, as long as you're not obviously harming people or harassing them, that you can come here and just vent your political frustrations and duke it out.
Like, let me give you an example of what I'm thinking of here, actually. So if you were in that group, like what you're talking about.
Right.
And somehow, like, net neutrality got brought up as a big thing. I don't know if you have right. any opinions at all, but in my field, there are pretty strong opinions.
Right.
In a very specific direction, which generally speaking, I do align with. But if you're one of those people that doesn't align with that, like, I know people that don't, and they're kind of afraid to talk about that, like at work even.
Right.
Because it's, like, embarrassing, or even, like, people will just really look down on you if you don't follow the sort of herd mentality on this specific issue. Obviously, yeah. this applies to presidential candidates, depending on where you happen to live or what group you're in.
Right.
And so an online forum is a place where you should feel safe to, or a private online forum is a place
yeah,
where you should feel
say,
safe
not
to,
okay,
like,
if you just post it on Facebook on your own page.
Exactly.
Then that's on you.
Then it's, like, I would expect some level, or I would hope for some level of people honoring this sort of environment and letting you speak about that and getting into
right.
intellectual engagements talking about that, where you feel like you can espouse your views where you might not in a different setting.
Right.
And so even though that's really harmless, generally speaking, it's still like a total jerk move to just out that person for, you know, being against net neutrality, yeah. even though that doesn't matter, it's like it does to that person probably.
Right. And that's really basically what I'm getting at, is that's what I'm saying. It's not illegal. It's not like, you know, you're this horrible person. It's just like, yeah, why would you do that? Because what has in fact happened is over the last 48 hours, most of the subgroups and the main group have had like this nervousness and anger that they're like, well, this is why 50% of us don't post in here.
Yeah.
Because
we
don't feel like we say it's all about transparency and this is a closed group, but we can't, but apparently we can't do that. And that seems to be some of the anger.
That is big part of why I kind of cringe every time you talk about these different private Facebook groups you're in, because right. Facebook seems like the worst possible place for that type of thing to me.
Yeah.
Because it is the least private feeling thing ever. Things like what you're talking about can happen because your name is attached to everything. But even bigger than that is Facebook, it's really easy to accidentally reveal information to more public, to make information more public than you originally intended.
Yeah.
It's not a clear UI, I feel like.
I agree with that. And I personally don't really say much that I wouldn't be afraid of.
Sure. I'm just saying, it's kind of a strange place. I didn't even know that was really a thing until you started talking about that.
Oh, yeah. It's a real thing, especially among these types of communities.
So I would say the moral of this story is always assume that anything you're doing, especially if your name is attached, is eventually going to be public or could be public.
Yeah, I get that risk, but
you know what I mean? I really feel like that's just a rule of thumb for navigating the internet.
I agree that risk should and cautions should always be taken into consideration, but I also feel like it's sort of a microcosm of the sort of victim blaming.
Okay, no, let me explain myself here. So you are talking in a group of people of whom you don't know everybody.
Yes.
So you cannot put your trust in the crowd. You know what I mean? Yes, if you're having a private conversation with somebody on Facebook that you personally know, yes, if it's on Facebook, it's unencrypted, and so technically Facebook might be spying on you, and some people might argue that you should also assume those are being watched. But
yeah.
I'm not even getting to that level. But if it's, a friend or somebody you personally know or know through the internet, but you trust, you can build a trust between people. But once it's a group, if you're in a coffee shop, you should assume that, anybody who could overhear you potentially could reveal that information. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that. I'm in a weird situation here because I agree entirely with your caution.
Obviously, the person who leaked it's a jerk and wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
On an ethical ground
based on what you've talked about, unless there's some other thing that you're not revealing here.
Yeah. Let's just assume what I'm saying is
assuming that definitely agree that guy's in the wrong. But I would very strongly recommend anybody, in a private Facebook group with people in there that they don't know.
Right.
Be very cautious with the assumption of privacy.
Yes, I agree with that. All I was saying was more about the etiquette of the situation and not some people were trying to tell me the assumption that anything you say can and should be shared if they think it's necessary. Because that was literally what someone had told me. They were like, well, if I think you're saying something wrong, I think it's good that I can be able to share it for accountability purposes. And I just thought, I kind of understand what you're saying, but that's not the point of this group. You have just now signaled to many people that they don't feel comfortable talking
here. That's a quick way to depress conversation.
Exactly.
And I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Which is why Reddit is such a great place, because usernames are anonymous and you should go to our Reddit at atownfm and you can tell us anything you want and we can't dox you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, your name is in your screen name.
Right. Only morons would do that.
Right.
Slash like me. /Stanlitz.
I actually don't know what mine is. It might be my name.
Yours is your name. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I should probably change it then. I don't really use it.
You can't change it, but you can create a new one. So the last thing I wanted to talk about here is this is a topic I've had on our list of topics for a while, but
I'm interested.
Yeah, it hasn't really come up naturally. But then the president of our United States kind of brought this conversation into the forefront.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw his meeting that he had where he called people coming, or no, he called a country, certain country, right, or a group of countries in a certain region a naughty word.
We're not going to say it.
I mean, go ahead.
I mean, he said, allegedly, obviously.
I don't know if it's allegedly at this point.
I don't either. But what he said was people, like, he said something to the effect of, why are we taking in people from these shithole countries?
Yes.
And that's the term he used. And so that's everywhere.
So he, yeah, he called countries a naughty word. And that's whatever. It actually didn't even register as that big of a thing to me. The word itself.
Right.
Other things, sure. Yeah. But the word itself is like, whatever. He's like a crass, kind of horrible person generally. So
right.
That's kind of, this is no surprise to anybody at this point.
Right.
But the thing that's been interesting is, over the last day, is watching all these journalists and media people specifically in my circle
right.
talk about everybody's trying to figure out the sort of guidelines that they should be giving on their networks for using this term, because this is about the president of the United States. So it's
right.
huge news related to immigration reform, also huge news. So like NPR had to, like, they put out a statement saying that they need to say the word sh-hole as part of NPR because it's news, but they're going to only use it like once every hour or something, so that it's not like
right.
used a lot, because, you know, there's kids in the car and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it's caused this whole interesting sort of conversation around curse words or swearing or whatever your term. What did you call it growing up?
Cuss words.
Cuss words. That's another way of saying it. And so This to me is a super fascinating topic, just generally speaking.
Yeah.
Because, like, we grew up Southern Baptist, right? Christian.
Yeah.
And at least for me, like, the whole thing around cussing wasn't, like, this big deal. It's just like, oh, it's a thing, like, you're not supposed to do.
Right.
Was that kind of your experience?
Yeah. To me, it was always sort of like... it was sort of like a presented as a moral absolute in a way. Like, it wasn't like a big deal, but it was like definitely like it would be considered a sin.
Yeah.
If you cussed.
But then what cussing was never super well defined.
Right. It was just sort of like you knew the words that got the PG-13 and R rating, and those were the ones you weren't supposed to say. At least that's how it was to me.
Yeah, for me, it was never even, I didn't know any specifics. Like... And I feel like the way that it was kind of almost impressed on me more than words was it was like your attitude.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I that's kind of how I feel about it still, is like, it's not really specific words as much as it's like, if you're letting anger get the best of you and you're, you know,
yeah,
you're saying something very hateful, that's kind of the more problematic thing.
Which nowadays, like, I think... I don't know the veracity of this study, because they always put out things like this and they're always like just, you know, attention grabber headlines. But I remember seeing something that was talking about the fact that, like, psychologists, whoever those people are, those specific people, were saying that cussing actually, like, is a stress reliever and is actually... can be therapeutic depending on how it's used.
Yeah, I've heard that. So, like, the thing I always hear, and yeah, again, I don't know how accurate this is, but the thing I always hear is that it's like the people who cuss a lot, like, in as part of regular conversation, they don't get that same effect when they use it. But if you don't cuss very often, then when you do use it, it's a lot more effective.
Right.
And so it's like, it's almost like if you can just keep it out of your regular vernacular, then you have these nice little cuss words in your back pocket to,
right,
you know, calm yourself down.
But then I'm limiting my vocabulary 7 words.
Only 7?
Well, it depends.
Yeah, so, okay, so we both grew up that way. But I'm curious kind of where you stand on this whole thing now. What's your journey of cursing?
So I'm an extremist on this. I'm probably much further than you, but yeah, I like you describing it as a journey. So basically in much more recent years, not too long of a time, but maybe 4 years or so, I've kind of come around on this, like, just thinking about it, like, logically. Like, I have all kinds of issues with the anti-cussing group.
Is that the official league? The league of anti-cussers?
Now, there's a couple of ways I want to come at this. Like, I don't think that there's anything inherently wrong with cussing. Everything to me should be about intent, not the actual syllables and the noise that they make as they come out of your mouth. Because to me, language evolves. Like, what was considered cussing in Jesus's day was not considered cussing in the medieval period and is not considered cussing now.
Is there things that were considered cussing in Jesus's age?
It is, no, not really. That's... People will say there is, but it's a more unique category now, which is kind of part of where I was getting at. So, like, you would make an incendiary statement back in Jesus's day, but, like, for instance, Jesus even called people a brood of vipers or, like, things like that. So, like,
yeah. And holes.
Yeah. By our modern.
I mean, the Greek and translates a little rough, but generally, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But so, like, to our modern category, which is a more unique thing, that would absolutely be a ad hominem attack or a cuss word. But because that was a pretty, like, incendiary statement back then. Like, that was a big deal if you called someone that. But nowadays, like, we're in this weird situation. Like, I don't see how, like, sounds in and of themselves are bad. It always has to be the intent. And this weird thing of, like, calling out certain words as bad is in this ironic way giving them power, because you're sustaining their status as these negative things and not paying any heed to the actual intent behind them. So, like, for instance, it doesn't seem to me like you're doing a bad thing. Like, if you meet a friend that, like, just came back from a tour in Iraq, and you haven't seen them for 2 years, and you go up to them and say, "Hey, how the F are you?" Like, nothing in that, intent-wise. Like, there's clearly nothing wrong with that, and that's even a positive use of it.
Right,
now,
right.
Of course, like, people that don't like cussing will nitpick and say, "Well, why do you got to say it at all?" And, well, why do you got to say any filler words at all? Like, that, it's because that's how language works.
Yeah, the interesting thing to me is this whole, like, replacement scheme that's out there now, right? Like,
yeah.
You can say son of a gun, and you can say crap, and you can say shoot.
Which, crap was a cuss word, at least to our knowledge, whenever I was really little in the early 90s.
Yeah, it's weird. That word went from, like, I don't know when it translated from, like, when I heard somebody say it, I thought they were saying something bad, to, like, oh, this is acceptable. But at some point, yeah. It seemed to.
Yeah.
Now it feels just unrefined and, like, makes me feel like a redneck.
Right. I agree. Yeah, so I don't know. The whole cussing thing is weird to me. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I really, truly do not understand the people that just, no matter what, it is a bad thing. Like,
well, okay. So let's go all the way to the extreme one, right?
Yeah.
Which is the N-word.
Sure.
So do you feel the same way towards that?
So my understanding, my situation with that is like, that has a different, like, racial component to it, which I understand. And I'm actually of a split mind on that. Like, I personally don't say the word just because I don't. I feel weird saying it, and I've never had the urge, and the need has never arisen that I have ever.
You feel weird saying it? Does that mean you've tried it, Dan?
No. But like, it's that actually is an interesting one, because I've mentioned this before. Like, there's I've actually heard different rap artists that, like, you know, there's a lot of rap artists that will use the N-word in their lyrics. And I've seen this debate come up online in several places where people say, like, what are we, if we're white, like, is it okay to sing along to the lyrics, or, you know, to be at a concert?
Yeah, was it Gwyneth Paltrow that tweeted out lyrics to some song and got really, like, hammered for it?
Yeah. And the thing is like, I've heard very good arguments on both sides of that from, like, rap artists. Like, I've heard some people, like, it might have been someone like Kendrick Lamar or someone like that. I don't know if it was him. He may have different feelings on it. But, like, someone like one of those bigger ones, I forget who it was, like, said, if you're at my concert, I want you singing along to the lyrics.
I want you or don't want you?
I do want you,
okay,
to.
Okay, yeah.
And then more recently, there was that whole kerfuffle with, like, Bill Maher on his, like, HBO show. Like, he made a joke using the N-word, and then they, like, had, like, a post-mortem on it the following week, and Ice Cube was on there and actually made a pretty convincing case in the other direction, saying, like, you know, that's, you know, like kind of the whole like that's our word thing. There's a reason why you're like, we don't feel comfortable with you using it. We use it for this reason, you know, went through and had a very convincing, well thought out case as to why.
And we should say at this point, we are two white people who have
exactly
zero right to have a strong opinion on this,
right.
I feel like. So I just want to get that out there, but it's worth talking about still.
To me, that's one where like, to me personally, like for instance, take the situation with Bill Maher. Now, I completely understand, and well, let me back up a little bit. My personal rule is, like, I'm just not going to say it, not because I feel some sort of moral obligation, but because I realize that it's a controversial thing, and I'm going to respect the African-Americans who don't want me to use it. I'm just not – why – it costs me nothing.
That's the thing. It's a respect thing, I feel like.
Exactly. And just like cuss words, like I actually don't think there's a problem with cuss words morally, but I'm not going to go into my grandma's house and go, hey, how the F are you? Like, get a, like
– That's the thing, right? So I think if you're saying like the S word, you are disrespecting people who would be offended by that if you are knowingly doing that in front of them, right?
Right.
And so I feel like you should, that translates up to a racially insensitive word too.
Right.
Like if there is a massive consensus that there is, that this is insensitive and offensive to a group of people and you still choose to use that, you are knowingly being, you're knowingly offending those people, right?
Right.
So you're knowingly disrespecting those people. And to me, that's like, that is a choice you're making.
Yeah.
And so in that specific instance, if you are intentionally disrespecting people of a certain race, that's not okay.
Right.
Whereas if you're knowingly offending people or disrespecting people who are just like in a group of people that is more, you know, prudish or whatever.
Right.
Then it's like the setting makes sense where it's like, okay, if you're at a comedy club, that's different than if you're at like a church. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And now I will say this, to me, the argument of are these words bad is very different than how should, in what settings should you use these things? Because I will say this, I'm not going to walk into my grandma's house, like I say, and say, you son of a, you know, and like, I'm not going to do that because my grandma's old fashioned. The context is she thinks it's wrong. But here's the thing. I think her reasons for why she thinks it's wrong are dumb. Like, I don't agree at all. But like you said, like, I'm not just going to go in there and start lobbing verbal grenades just to get a rise out of her.
Because it's just disrespectful.
Right, right. So I will say, like, my – like, same with, like, go back to the Bill Maher situation. I don't think he's racist. He's one of the most, like, liberal left people that – he makes some stupid – he does and says –
I mean, I don't know a lot about him, but he is intentionally getting a rise out of people, right?
Yeah. That's kind of his shtick is that he's like – he says these like –
That's. I think that's what puts comedians in a sort of strange role with this is they're one of the rare groups of people who like not – like the word could be used to their advantage, any, you know, bad word, so to speak.
Right.
And so – And they are in an industry that is like the whole goal a lot of times is to push boundaries. And so
right.
Sometimes people will push a boundary too far and, you know, it'll backfire on them.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. It's just a weird situation because like to me, I don't think there's anything wrong with words inherently. It's always the intentions behind it. However, I would say like I would think I'm an extremist in a sense that like I think that words should, like those, should become normalized in a sense that, like, they no longer have their punch and are no longer bad words because, again, the bad words that we have today aren't necessarily the ones that were here 100 years ago. Some of them are, but...
I think it's an ever-changing thing, like anything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sort of my thing is it's like, if you insist, no, we cannot say these things, I go back to you are... upholding their status as having this punch to them that they don't really have. It should always, to me, intent always matters more than the actual words themselves. Because
yeah, I totally agree.
You can say something that cuts someone to the bone and not use a single cuss word.
Right.
And like there's some things that people say that to me are more offensive because they talk down to you, or, you know, it's arrogant, or you know, just if someone says something racist where they don't even use a bad word, like, that's worse than if I were to say, you know,
right. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And in regards to the sort of opening of this whole thing, it doesn't bother me if a, you know, politician or president or leader or whatever in private meetings uses cuss words. Again,
right.
What those words are meaning in the context of the sentence is important.
Right.
And then if they're using those words in a public setting, I do have a problem with that because, you know, I think leaders need to be like role models to children and, you know, that whole business.
Right.
And I think that does matter, like the words you choose to use. If anything, just because civility is important.
Right.
But you also should be, you shouldn't just be replacing those words with the safer version of it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
If the president just says, you know, what the F, little rocket man, I have a problem with that too.
Obama famously, like, whenever was just randomly asked about, what do you think about Kanye West standing up Taylor Swift at the whatevers, he was just like, he's a jackass. And that's like one of my all-time favorite Obama clips, because he just like, we're not going to talk about this. He's a jackass. We get it. Let's move on.
Yeah, like when I, like reading through George Bush's memoir book.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes in there is, you know, this is during the 9/11 section, the day of, and so he's very emotional, clearly, even writing about it, but in the moment. And one of his lines is like, all right, we need to figure out who this is and go kick their ass. And I remember reading that because it's the president, and even him, especially in this book, is talking like a president.
Right.
It has this extreme punch. And so, yeah, I think with cuss words, it is like keeping them in your back pocket and not using them a lot, it makes them very effective.
Right.
Both for yourself and for, you know, a speech.
Let me give you a thought experiment with this cussing issue. So, I mean, I kind of have an idea of where you might stand on this now, because, like, you have kids and I know how you are with letting them, you know, watch certain content and things like that. And that's totally understandable. My question is like, let's say hypothetically, let's travel down the road 30 years. And a lot of, like, these older, more traditional generation are kind of not around anymore, because they're kind of the ones that are a bit more offended by cuss words, because it's sort of like it's a more abrasive thing to them, and it's not how they were raised. Like I said, those words had more.
I don't know. I think it's still passed down, but watered down over time.
I think more and more. Yeah, it's yeah. But what I'm saying is like, if cuss words are more the norm, like, I don't see why I would ever monitor that sort of content if I had kids. Like, again, I'm not talking about right now, because to me now, you don't want to teach your kids that it's okay to say cuss words, simply because even if you have a different ethic on it, like I do, I wouldn't want my kids going to school and cussing out all their friends and the teacher.
Okay.
But I don't inherently think there's anything wrong with a kid using cuss words. And that's why I'm kind of an extremist on it. I'm just saying, like, I would never do it in our current time, because there's still so much context where it's deemed inappropriate. And so I'm not going to be a jerk and, you know, teach kids to say the F word and run around saying it and be like, no, my dad says it's okay. Like,
so,
because there's plenty of people that are still sort of triggered by it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think. So the thing that, like, to me is important in raising a kid with this isn't as much the words themselves, except for, like you said, like, you don't want your, you know, 4-year-old saying some bad word in front of your, you know, grandma, and then them being like, oh, well, what are they saying at home? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's like, you almost want to like hide the words from them. And I get that. We're not really at that stage, or we haven't really had to be at that stage yet.
Yeah.
But to me, the important thing is learning to regulate your speech depending on who you're around.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just an important life skill, a very important life skill.
Yeah. So this is
so
weird.
It's not about like these words are bad. It's more about like, hey, like I remember growing up, we'd go over to certain people's houses and my mom would be like, hey, just so you know, like, this family thinks that Pokemon are bad, right?
Yeah.
So just don't talk about it. And, like, as a kid, it was, like, this easy thing for me because I guess I grew up with it where it's like, oh, okay, like, these people don't like this thing. We don't think it's a big deal, but I'm not going to make fun of them for thinking it's a big deal.
Right.
I'm just not going to talk about it. And I think the same kind of went for certain cuss words, although we maybe my family was more on the we didn't say a lot. But I don't ever remember being, like, offended by other people saying things.
Yeah, I guess to me it's sort of like this might be a weird parallel, but stick with me here. Like, it's kind of the same with, like, how I feel about education. Is, like, I don't like necessarily, like, obviously there's certain facts that you need to know, but I feel like it's more important to teach people how to think and learn and research than necessarily just saying, like, you need to understand the semantics that this connect. Well, obviously connections are a good thing. I'm saying, like, learning and like
learning how to learn,
yeah,
is just as important of a thing.
And it's the same with cussing. Like everything you just explained is exactly kind of how I feel about it. Like, learning, like, etiquette, ethics, like, in situations, like, situational conversation, like, how to treat a situation.
Right. It's not a piece of paper that we can print out and say this word good, this word bad.
Right.
But rather a nuanced understanding of intent behind what you're saying.
Right.
Like, and me and my wife have talked about this. Like, the word stupid is almost more in this list of bad words than, like, crap.
Yeah.
For, like, a little kid to me. Because it's like, if you're calling somebody stupid, there's a level of intent behind that that I want to, like, nip in the bud early.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you stub your toe and you say crap, it's kind of like, okay, there might be some people that think you're saying a word that maybe a kid shouldn't say, but it's like,
yeah,
I'm not worried about, like, how you are communicating with people in terms of the long term because of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It sort of frustrates me because, to me, it's just so simple. Like, language evolves and it's more about the intent. But there's so many people that are like, no, no, no. The way you said these certain words and they come out in the sound of F-U-C-K, like, that's automatically a bad thing and you're an immoral person for doing it in that moment. And I just don't – I don't understand how someone can stick by that whenever you're just like, but what if I'm not? What if I'm literally just using it as a filler word? Like, you can say, well, it's a filler word, like, talk better, but that's a different complaint than the actual word itself.
Right, then morality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like interesting. I mean, so I don't have a good counter argument to this. I'm literally sitting here trying to devil's advocate this for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I almost can't. Like, to me, it's like I can argue very strongly why you, Dan, should regulate yourself so that you don't cuss as much, because I think that's a helpful thing just as, like, a, you know, life tip. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you, Dan, like, you cuss too much. I'm saying, like, if I'm talking to somebody, me telling them, like, hey, it's like a nice business advice to learn to not cuss automatically.
Right.
And then you don't have a hard time. You won't accidentally offend people. And depending on what company you're in, you can sort of, like, naturally regulate your vocabulary.
Yeah.
Based on the tone of the people. Whereas if you're a person who cusses a lot, I think it's a lot harder to, like, rein it back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just, like, a practicality thing? That's not a morality thing?
To me, I think, like, I'm also a little bit I kind of have the views that I have because I kind of had a aggravating history with cussing that I kind of forgot about until just now, and I don't know why this triggered this and brought it up.
Ooh.
But, like, one of the things that I used to do, and I don't know if you did this too, but because of, like, the religious community that we were raised in, I remember I was so, like, set on, like, following the correct rules and everything that, like, cussing is bad. And I was in that camp where it's like, if you cuss or if you smoke or you drink, you're not a Christian. And that's just kind of how I viewed things. Or maybe not, you're not a Christian, but you have problems and you're not on my level, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, I used to almost exclusively only listen to religious music. But when I would branch out and buy a CD, I would literally have this routine where I would listen through the whole CD, follow along with the lyrics, and any songs that had cussing in them, I would reburn the CD onto a blank disc without that song in it.
Oh, man. Wow.
And so it became this like weird, like compulsive thing where like I was like, no, I am not going to.
Didn't Walmart have like clean versions of CDs for a while?
Yeah, but even then, you still had to go through it because sometimes they would let lesser ones slip.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so I was pretty paranoid and like had serious problems with that sort of thing. And that was like very, I'm not saying it like ruined my life or anything. It wasn't like life altering or nothing. But in that microcosm of an issue, it was sort of oppressive and sort of frustrating because I felt this moral obligation to do this thing. And I even remember trying to defend the difference between music and movies. And eventually it just sort of broke that it's like, there really isn't a difference. And I'm sort of tired of like trying to edit all these things that aren't bad. Like for instance, especially whenever you look at things like, I remember I started watching The Walking Dead like years ago.
Oh my gosh. Started. I cannot believe we still got on The Walking Dead. I literally was thinking about it when we were setting up our topics. And I was like, I think we're going to avoid The Walking Dead this time. But no, somehow, right at the end, you managed to just pull it back in.
No, this really is relevant. I remember having like a slight like thing like, should we be watching this? Like, because it's like this horror thing and, you know. And so like, I remember thinking like, is this okay? And then you kind of realize like, well, this isn't really, I mean, obviously it's a horror genre, but as far as like actual violent content, it's not very much different than a lot of stuff that I would find in like Bible stories. And so like, I remember that being sort of like a moment to me. And I realized that sort of content is a little different from cussing, but it still sort of like was a moment to me to think like, oh, this isn't something that I should be censoring myself over, because like music is like an art thing. And I do think like music, if it gives you bad feelings or makes you like, for instance, depressed all the time, that's a better reason to not maybe listen to something rather than saying, oh, they said the S word in one of their songs, so I got to delete that song from my playlist. And that, again, goes back to the whole like intent behind the content rather than just, you know, cutting it out because it said this word.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's kind of weird. It's like, I guess the bad way of phrasing it would be desensitizing. But like to me, being exposed to these things that were like, quote, bad growing up,
yeah,
I feel like was helpful. Like going to a public school where you're exposed to plenty of nice kids who cuss all the time and having family members who you spent lots of time with who drank and smoked made it to me like, oh, well, we don't do these things, but there are plenty of good people that do.
Yeah.
But if you didn't grow up with that, I could see that being like sort of this stain whenever you do then get exposed to people. And yeah, that's interesting. Like here in Missouri, at least, like I'm almost completely unexposed to like pot or weed.
Right.
Like at all. Or marijuana, I guess I should say. And so if I saw somebody smoking marijuana, I would probably have this sort of gut negative reaction towards that person.
Yeah.
Right now. Even though, like, intellectually, I might not, I don't think I could suppress that feeling because it's something I'm completely unexposed to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, and with the desensitization thing, like, that's kind of where I think is sort of, like, the test case. So I had a conversation about this with my grandma one time, which I knew I wasn't going to convince her, but you know, we were talking about it cause she's more old fashioned, you know, cussing is wrong. It's a moral thing. And, like the actual words themselves. And so like, she was saying like, oh, you know, all these movies and things are just so many F words. And like, they're just, people are just getting desensitized to it. And I said, well, but is that a bad thing? And you know, she looked at me like I had 10 heads and I was like, and I said, well, you know, I explained the whole language evolution thing. And I was like, you know, if it becomes a normal word that people just use in passing, like, then it no longer has any punch. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. There's definitely a, like, crassness, though, right? So, like, the F word itself isn't that, like, doesn't necessarily bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But plenty of movies I, like, almost can't get into because they're going over the top to be crass. Does that make sense?
I kind of get it, but I also don't. Because, like, I remember, again, back whenever I was in this phase where I was editing myself for music, like, I remember feeling guilty about liking the movie The Departed, which is a famous, you know, Martin Scorsese movie that's set in Boston, and it's, like, every other word. It's really rough as far as language goes. But now, looking back, it's sort of like, but it's a movie. It's a play. Like, it's not something that's openly harmful towards the world and actually has interesting themes and messages in it. And it's, and for what it is, even if it's like way over the top to what I'm used to, or even people that I know that cuss, you know, don't even, you know, go to
yeah,
that degree.
And I think to me, it comes down to like, that was furthering the story. Whereas usually what I'm talking about is like a comedy.
Oh, gotcha.
It is being used for the purpose of being crass, for the purpose of being funny.
I understand. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's where the difference lies. Or the worst to me, even worse than like a crass, like rated R comedy that's just trying to be funny but can't, so it just cusses. The thing that's worse than that is when your PG-13 movie gets its like one F word in that it's so proud of.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is the worst, because you're just like, really? Like, come on. We could have just gotten through this whole thing without that, and you're just, it's like this, like, proud F-word. Like, ooh, we get our one or two F-words a movie, and...
But again, like, you notice you're talking about the intent behind it.
Absolutely. That's what I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
But that
was
what I was saying, like, when people talk about movies being overly, too many cuss words, like... You don't hear the same, well, some I'm sure you do, but less frequently do you hear that complaint lodged against, like, Saving Private Ryan, right?
Yeah.
Even though that one had probably just as many F-words as anything else, it's like, yeah but they're like, young men
Soldiers in war. Yeah.
That is an appropriate thing for that setting. And even, like, The Departed or Goodfellas or some of these, like, mob movies where it's like, that is how these people would be talking.
Right. But no, I agree with you, though. Yeah, to me, at the end of the day, it comes down to intent behind stuff, not necessarily the words themselves.
Yeah, but the words themselves can have power on their own.
Yes.
Given by the people, obviously, but that doesn't make them any less powerful.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. We've solved the cursing thing.
If anybody has any opinions or wants to cuss us out, feel free to find us on any of our platforms.
Yeah, I'd like to hear, obviously, what any of you guys feel about cursing as well. But also, what I'm curious about is, like, things that you grew up thinking were cuss words, but then when you got older or you moved to a different, like, area, you've learned, like, aren't, or vice versa. I find those things endlessly fascinating.
And tell us how many curse words you know.
We want all of your curse words. And based on our earlier conversation, you might want to do that on Reddit so that your name's not attached.
Yeah, because we're just going to get all kinds of people cussing us out on Facebook and people like, what is going on their page? Yeah.
Yeah, so where can they find us?
Oh, A-Town FM on everything. A-TownFM.com for the website. But what's the Reddit?
It's A-Town FM. It's /r/A-Town FM, yeah. But you can just search A-Town FM, all one word.
So you can find us anywhere, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review if you have a 4 or 5 star review you want to leave us on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are reviewed.
Yeah, review us on iTunes. You can review us on Facebook, too.
Oh, yeah, I guess that'd be helpful as well.
Yeah, I think we have a couple. Like, I don't think they're as, like, quote, helpful in terms of, you know, SEO as far as people finding us. But
right.
I just enjoy the feedback.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool.